We are your voice for the Redbirds on the Redbird Sports Network, WJBC, WJBC.com. Lake Haas alongside. I'm Greg Hallbleib. It is our signing day broadcast on WJBC. We are going to the coach himself, Brock Spak, as he's going to give you a little bit of an update on this recruiting class as he talks to the crowd today. And the assistant athletic director for media communications, Mike Williams, is introducing the head coach of the Redbirds, Brock Spak. So let's hear him address the crowd and take some questions about the class of 2018.
Thank you, Mike.
I want to recognize all the wives that are here tonight. Wives, raise your hand. Wives, coaches, wives, thank you very much. They sacrifice a lot for us to do what we love to do. A lot of thank yous go out tonight. I want to thank, obviously, our university president, President Dietz, Larry Lyons and his staff. You know, they do a great job for us and are a great support. Keenan Wembley in academics, Nick Watson, our equipment manager, Dane and Andrew down in the equipment and down in the training room. Our medical staff from the Seidel Group also do a fine job. Our CFO, or our, I don't know what you call her, our salary cap person, Cindy Harris, and her right-hand man, Scott Renfro, thank you very much. Without them, I really bothered them this year. We have a big class, and there's a lot going on in that class, and it was, Coach Spak was a pain in the ass for them, so I appreciate all your effort. All the faculty student body here at ISU, they do a great job. When you bring a recruit on campus, that's the coach's job, is to get them to come here. It's up to the people in the community and in the academic environment to sell the school. And our faculty and student body do a great job, as well as our players. Our players are a big part of that as well. We trust our players and appreciate their input, and they do a good job. Our secretary, Pam Myrna, Rick Geitz, our film people, they are excellent. Rick does a great job. Lisha Mays, I forgot her upstairs, didn't forget today. Lisha Mays, our director of football operations, Jim Lathrop and Andrew over in the weight room. And finally, our coaching staff. Appreciate all what they did. This is a big class. They did a great job, and we appreciate that. With that, I want to introduce our staff. We've had some changes, as you know, and want to make sure everybody knows who they are. Our new defensive coordinator and linebacker coach, Travis Niekamp. Please stand up, Travis. Travis is a former player here, as most of you know. He also coached here, and he's on his second stint as a coach, his third as a bird, and will do a great job. Our defensive line coach, Brian Hendricks. Brian, stand up, please. There is Brian. Brian comes from the University of Montana. He's a really good, he's an outstanding player at University of Wyoming. That's kind of how I found out about Brian, because my connection to University of Wyoming, I heard great things about him there. Outside linebacker coach, Kai Stewart. Former great player here, played, I think, 4 years in the CFL, two Grey Cups, which is equivalent to a Super Bowl, and had a great career here, obviously. Cody Dietire, defensive back coach. Cody, still here. Our assistant defensive back coach, Mike Banks. Where's Mike at? Mike is a former player here as well. Mike had the what I call one of the greatest tackles in school history on a fourth down, fourth and three against New Hampshire, if you recall. That put us in the national championship game. And Mike has joined us as a full-time coach. On offense, back for a second stint with us is offensive coordinator, quarterback coach, Kurt Beathard. Coach Kurt Beathard, excited to have him back. Most of you know, or if you're football fans, know that Kurt's dad got the call from the Pro Football Hall of Fame on Saturday. That's pretty cool, huh? Bobby Beathard, really cool. And his brother wrote Boys of Fall. How about that? Brother's a famous songwriter. He makes $1 billion. Kurt doesn't, just so you know. Running back coach, moving over from defense, was a very good player here, Keenan Hall. Keenan. Along with the next man, Keenan, he really kind of coordinated our recruiting efforts this year. Our tight end coach, associate head football coach, is Greg McLean. Greg. Greg and Keenan kind of worked together, and then kind of Keenan's kind of taking it all over now, but Greg did a great job of solidifying our recruiting. An old pro is back for another stint here, Harold Etheridge, our offensive line coach. Harold Etheridge. Excellent coach, was here for 9 years under two different coaches. And the coach that inherited him took him with him to West Point. I thought that was pretty indicative what he thought of him. And Harold's an excellent coach, a hard worker. A guy that I've known for a long time. He's from my hometown in Rockford. He was with Jerry Kill for 16 years as his receiver coach. And we're very fortunate to have Brian Anderson. Brian. I'm going to tell you a little something different I didn't tell upstairs, the folks upstairs, was that our biggest recruit, maybe, and hasn't been talked about a lot today, is a guy named Luther Kirk. You guys remember Luther Kirk? Luther Kirk is back in the program, and he came in back after all the coaching shakeup. He came back in the office and said, "Hey, coach, I want to come back." And he's back in the program, and as you recall, as a safety, last spring, he clearly had the best spring, I thought, of any defensive back we had here. And so I was very surprised when he stepped away. But he's back, and after paying for school on his own, I think he feels that he had a great deal here. So he's back in the program. He's very excited. He's doing really well, but doing a great job. So we're excited for that. I want to go over our class. As you see, it's a very long list. I'm not going to go over every guy. If you have a question about a guy or why the class is so big, I'd be happy to answer those questions. I'll try to head that off if you will. You know, we had two signing periods this year. So today's kind of anticlimactic, really. It wasn't a very exciting signing day, which I like very much. And it was very, the word shenanigans has been put out there, very few shenanigans where guys are flipping, flopping, and using the hats and all that crap, you know, stuff I don't really appreciate. Never liked it. So you didn't see that much today, that kind of stuff, because most of the guys signed in December. And it kind of caught, I think, the TV people off guard, like, three-quarters of the class was already signed. And we all went and finished our classes, or some people were out of scholarships. It's kind of interesting being on the road, ran into, Mike and myself, and I forget who else was with us, I think Keenan, we went up and watched a junior throw in a gym up in Joliet, and the coach from Northern Illinois was there. The coach from North Dakota was there, and coach from Northern Illinois says, "Hey, we're out scholarships. We got nothing to give. We've come across all these players, transfers, and we can't give them anything. We're full." And I said, "Wow, I'm glad we did what we did. You know, we held some back, and I always held a couple back. Still have a couple back because we never know when Trey Roberson's going to walk in the door, do we? So we always going to have one for him." Or that kind of guy. So we're going to keep that. So I thought it was interesting. Some people really filled up in the early signing period. We had 22, but a couple of those guys were transfers, so they don't count towards that 30. And we had a couple guys that are going to be gray shirts, so they don't count until they come in the program. So basically we signed 18. And then we signed, I think, 7 more today. And we still have a couple left, which we'll use down the road if we see fit or in our program. So it was a very interesting year. And I meant what I said about Cindy over in her office, because this roster is between her and I. We talk about the money every day. And I sit there and stare at the board, and the board doesn't change. So I call her, "How can I change my board?" And she's very, very creative, obviously within the rules, how to move scholarship money around. It's like being a general manager in the National Football League. So it was a very interesting process. I don't think she had much fun, but she was very helpful, and Scott was as well, to help me navigate what was legal and what wasn't legal, and what I could do to shoehorn guys in this class creatively. You know, a kid that wanted to come here, and we didn't get it done perfectly, I don't think, but we came awful close. And that's why you see such a big class, because with her help, she really explained a lot of things that we could circumvent and navigate through to get, and I don't want to bore you with the details, but it's very similar to the National Football League and our salary cap. when you're dealing with FCS scholarships and costs of attendance and all that stuff. So it's very interesting. And with their help, it really put together a really a class that's got depth, a class that's got numbers, a class that's got very good students. And while I'm on that, if you look at Jacob Carl, you look him up there, that 6'4", 215-pound tight end, a lot of people have been watching him on the screen, so who's that guy? He's a good player. He's from Galesburg. Jacob Carl has a 4.6 on a four-point scale and a 33 in ACT. He's going to go over across the street here in a couple weeks and interview for the presidential scholarship here. And he will take his scholarship money and give half of it back to me. Now, isn't that interesting how that works? So I can give it to somebody else. So it's very, very interesting because if he's not a presidential scholar, I don't know who is because he's a great, great student. And there's a couple other guys on this list that are 30s and very, very good students. So that's important. And that's part of the process. We take some guys and we use the academic money along with the athletic money to get them to something that's reasonable for them to go to school on. And so that's really helpful. And that's where Cindy helps me a lot. So it's been a very interesting process. And I really liked it. I hope it stays this way. But I think that's what's going to be different now is now what do we do in the spring? You know, we've kind of talked about this as staff because now we're allowed to bring recruits in starting in April for official visits. Usually we're not supposed to do that until they start school their senior year in September. And we don't do that much here. We don't bring guys in on weekends very often. Might bring two or three a fall, an official visit during the fall. In the Big Ten, we did it every weekend. We've been 10, 12 guys in because all the support we have. But here we bring one or two guys in maybe every other weekend. So now what do we do? Or do we wait till December? Do we wait till January to bring them in? Because that's the game we're going to be in now. Because an FCS school or a group of five schools, not a power five school, you bring a guy in April or May for official visit, and you only got 56 visits. So let's say you bring 10 guys in, all right? And all 10 guys say, you know what, coach, we're not going to take the scholarship right now. We're going to go to summer camp in June, and we're going to go to Illinois, we're going to Notre Dame, we're going to Iowa, we're going to Wisconsin. We're doing a camp tour. I'm going to see what happens. And then all of a sudden, all 10 go somewhere else. And now you lose 10 spots. Now you got 46 for to sign a class of 20. So understand the predicament you get in. So what do you do? I think we're going to stay the course. We probably won't bring in too many guys early, and get them through the camp season, and then go from there. But we might dabble in a guy that might have a hook. We might have a hook in either some type of hook, and might get them try to experiment one or two guys and see how it works for us. But I don't see us changing a whole lot. But if I'm Illinois, I got the same problem now. I bring that kid in, and now the Buckeyes offer him later on down in the summer, and now I might be out, you know, or USC, whatever. So that's the quandary you're in as a coach with this new visit rule. Okay, so that'll be interesting. I don't think a lot of people I've talked to our assistant coaches, even some of the big guys. I've heard some people like Virginia or Clemson saying, we're not changing. We're not bringing anybody in the spring. And that's kind of interesting. We're going to see who pushes the envelope on that. So that'll be the next thing on the horizon when it comes to football recruiting. With that, I'll open up to specific questions you have about our class. Any questions? Yes, sir.
Hearing from Brock Speck. This is our signing day show, talking about the Redbird class. The second National Letter of Intent signing day here at Hancock Stadium.
No, that's Cindy doesn't like winging it. Yeah, she don't like when I wing it because that means that we're going to be over, and then that's going to be a violation. We don't want that. We have a budget, and it's by position, and we have a board. It's on it's in the cloud, I guess, if you call it. You pull it up on a queue. And each position, each player, has a different color on it, and each by class. And then the class, there's a number in there, 84, 91, 46, the percent of money he's on. And in the end, we have a number at the bottom of that position, what we have in that. And then we have it structured where we have numbers set on what would be optimal to take to training camp, you know, when we get to August. And that number, based on scholarship players, we see how You know, I say we need two linebackers, outside linebackers. And we don't need an inside linebacker. We need two outside guys. Or we might need one nose guard, but no, we don't need an end. Or we meet need a – but with me, I'm always going to take linemen, even if I'm over. I'm not going to pass on linemen because they're hard, if he's a great one. Because they're hard – I think he could be a great one. Because it's hard to find him, and it's hard to develop him. And so we're going to always do that. But that's how we do it. That's how we set. Okay, going into – and then we look at our – right now we have, like, I think we caught 9 seniors, right, man, the other day? 9 seniors on our team. So right now we think we have 9 going to next fall. Well, that number will always increase. Unfortunately, there's going to be some damage. I mean, there's going to be some attrition, okay? Either, unfortunately, through an injury, some guy falls in love and says, I'm getting out of here, I'm getting married, or whatever. A guy flunks out of school or says football's not for him, or I tell him to get gone, okay, because he's not doing what he's supposed to do. And so there's that. So that's hard to predict, and that's, you know, we're not actuary scientists, so we don't, it's hard to predict that. But we, you know, usually lose 2 or 3 guys, you know, on that. And then an injury might pop up, and a guy might not be able to play again. And so you, with 9, I'd say we'd be safe to have 15. So we'll probably go in next year. We got 15, and now that could go up or down, and we try to stay within that number. And it changes, can very fluid, because you never know, you know, what happens. You know, Brandon Barrett came in and said, hey, Coach, I'm going to graduate. I'm going to go work down back. You know, he calls Texas home. I'm going back home to Texas, even though he went to high school in Chicago. He's from Texas. He says, I'm going to go back home and go work. And that's where I want to live the rest of my life. Yeah, I get that. And that happens sometimes. So you don't know. I had, you know, Blake Hooper, who was a backup nose guard, was on scholarship. We walked on here. We were counting on him to come back. Blake goes, hey, Coach, I got accepted to law school. What are you going to say? Yeah, you don't go to law school? You know, no, you're I'm a dad. You're going to go to law school. You know, and yeah, I think I should. Yeah, I think you should. You know, get going with your career because he's not going to be a pro football player. So those things happen, you know. And so the number can be very fluid. And but we have a base number we go with. And you know, I don't like to go over it because I don't like to promise something I don't have. But – you know, sometimes you do offer more scholarships than you have, and sometimes I worry about that. I start sweating. Those guys don't, but I always sweat. Sending, oh, don't worry about it, I'll be fine. But I always sweat. I don't want to go over because I don't want to promise somebody it's not there. Sometimes I have to call a guy and say, listen, we don't have one. It's over. And he's expecting to come here. You know, we're done. You know, so it's just a dance you do, and I lose a lot of sleep on it. It's a lot of work, and. So the number is very fluid, but we do have a number, yes. We have one already for next year.
It is the Redbird Signing Day Show. We're at Hancock Stadium Club and talking about the class of 2018. That list, by the way, is up at goredbirds.com, the home of Illinois State Athletics.